It's the second annual Do You Watch What I Watch Watchies. The stars are on edge to find out who will take home the trophies as we celebrate the best holiday movies from the most wonderful time of year. And now, your hosts, Jennifer and Josh.
And it is officially award season, and we are so, so excited to be back with you as we recap what we think are the highlights from the 2023 holiday movie season. How's it going, Jennifer?
It's going pretty good, Josh. I don't mind telling you, this is the first time I put on makeup the entire month of January, because January is just a drudge. And in Middle Tennessee, we've been snowed in for a week now with no end in sight. So this is a bright spot to my day. I don't know about you.
Literally a bright spot. Now, at the onset, we want to give you a pretty important reminder here. These are awards for the new holiday movies that we watched here on the podcast in 2023. And we chatted about them, of course. If you're a loyal listener, you will remember many of these movies. There will be some great movies that came out that are not included in this episode because we didn't do an official podcast episode on them. We've got busy lives, but wanted to give you a good cross-section of what was out there, and I think we did that, Jennifer.
I think so. So if you're new to the pod, great time to jump in at the end of the Christmas season. But we used a bingo wheel to randomly choose the movies that we were going to watch. And I'd say the bingo wheel was nice to us this year.
I think so. The bingo wheel gave us a lot of great stuff. And I think we should just jump right in, Jennifer, with our first category.
Let's do it. So the first category is most earned relationship, which will go to the relationship we thought was the most believable, lived in, rootable, all the words we like to use.
The nominees for Most Earned Relationship, Sealed with a List, Destined 2, Christmas Once More, A Biltmore Christmas.
And the winner for Most Earned Relationship goes to Destined 2 from Great American Family.
Christmas Once More.
Them win this award because it was Christmas Once More. It was a sequel. So to be, honest, they had a little bit of earning last year too. But
right.
That's our award. Yeah.
But I think it really speaks to the chemistry of this couple. I think fans by and large loved this second installment. There was, as you'll recall, Jennifer, a lot of interest in perhaps a third one and maybe seeing this relationship do a little bit more in terms of maybe we'll get a wedding if there's a Destined 3. So stay tuned. I think we've not seen the last of this couple.
I hope not. I really enjoy them. And what if they did a destination wedding?
Ah.
And they lose each other on the island?
That would be an oopsie doodle.
That would be a big oopsie doodle. Great American Family, if you're listening, we got ideas.
We've got ideas.
Good, but we have ideas.
You know, and we'll move on to our next category. We've got Best Kid Singer. Now, if you were with us for the Watchies, we didn't have this category last year, but we've got it this year because there was an overwhelming amount of kid singers in this year's crop of movies that we watched, recapped, and reviewed here on the podcast. So we couldn't let this moment pass by.
The nominees for Best Kid Singer, My Norwegian Holiday, Sealed with a List, Yuletide the Knot.
And the winner for Best Kid Singer goes to Yuletide the Knot.
This movie had a lot of singing. It was borderline a musical, which was a choice, something we don't always get. This one was from UpTV. I think they had, three or four original numbers in it, and one of them included a kid singer, who we thought really did a great job of handling that kind of scope without it being too cheesy or whiny.
Yes, exactly. And if you know me, I'm not normally one for a child singing, so I find it very interesting that I had to do this category, Jennifer, and also interesting that I enjoyed that movie as much as I did with the amount of kid singing that it had in it. So there you go.
It overcame all the odds for you. That's right. All right. For our next award, we traveled the world this year. No more only seeing movies in small town USA tropes. We went everywhere. And so this is the award for Best Scenery.
The nominees for Best Scenery, A Heidelberg Holiday, My Norwegian Holiday, A Biltmore Christmas.
And the award for best scenery goes to A Heidelberg Holiday.
Well, I gotta tell you, I thought all of these were great. And we really got Hallmark spending a lot of, as we would say, budge on these movies here. A Heidelberg Holiday, I think it etched out for me because it literally transported you to all of those German markets. We commented, we were doing the podcast, that it felt like the whole thing was shot through a star lens because it looked so beautiful and all of that. I mean, Biltmore Christmas, My Norwegian Holiday, both also really, really pretty. But there's just something about going to those German markets that I think got it over the edge for me. What about you?
It made me want to peddle something at one of those markets. I don't know what I would sell, but I want to craft something and go next year. And I would actually be in my booth for the market. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Listen to the episode for the context on that. Yes. Hey, if you are new to the pod, and if you're new to this genre of movies that we love so, so, so much, you will know that there is a moment of distress, a moment of unease in these movies that we here on Do You Watch What I Watch like to refer to as the oopsie doodle.
The nominees for Biggest Oopsie Doodle: A Biltmore Christmas, Christmas with a Kiss, To All a Good Night.
And the watchie for Biggest Oopsie Doodle goes To All a Good Night. So
Kimberly Susted, I don't know her character's name now, but her fella, turns out, knew her dad in real life, and they had been little pen pals, and kind of her dad had been supporting him, and that's how they met.
Yeah.
Oopsie doodle.
And what do you think makes a good oopsie doodle, Jennifer?
I think a good one is one that you don't see coming, and I did not see this one coming. I knew there would be an oopsie doodle. There almost always is. But this one was original. It was different, fresh. What about you?
I agree with you. I think it's something you don't see coming, but I also like an oopsie doodle that moves the plot forward and moves the characters forward. It can't just be some sort of last minute hiccup that we've got to work our way through. I really want to see it kind of work these characters out a little bit more in the last act. And I think that's exactly what it did in our winner, To All a Good Night. So congratulations to them.
Very good. All right. So we had some movies that took big risks. They swung for the fences this year, and sometimes it paid off. Other times it involved, hypothetically, an AI Christmas ghost. So here's the award for Most Bonkers.
The nominees for Most Bonkers: Ladies of the 80s, A Diva's Christmas, We're Scrooged, Where Are You Christmas?
And the award for Most Bonkers goes to none other than Ladies of the 80s from Lifetime. Wowie zowie, Josh. This movie. Woo!
Start to finish, it was bonkers. The concept was bonkers. The casting was bonkers. The things they got these big deal ladies to do in this movie were bonkers. I just think that there was no other choice. I mean, We're Scrooged was pretty bonkers because it did have that AI ghost, which if you've not seen it, you've just got to watch it to appreciate how just bonkers it is. And then Where Are You Christmas? That one was bonkers, Jennifer, we thought, because of the whole concept and the whole some's black and white, some's color, the whole nine yards there, right?
It was bonkers for me on the ending of Where Are You Christmas. Like, they just kind of yada yada. The ending didn't make sense. I was with them until then. But yeah. But Ladies of the 80s, I mean, you got food fights. You got B words being flown around on your Christmas movies. You got no Christmas happening on the Christmas movie. And you had a food truck girl falling in love with a producer. It's just
bonkers.
There's no other word for it. It has to be recognized.
Had to be recognized in probably the best way we could recognize it possibly. Anyway, this year we had movies that went above and beyond the status quo of made-for-TV movies. We're talking costumes, set design, script, production value.
The nominees for Best Production Value: A Biltmore Christmas, Catch Me If You Claws, Where Are You Christmas?
And the winner, the watchie for Best Production Value, goes to A Biltmore Christmas. And Jennifer, I just think it had to be A Biltmore Christmas in this category.
Yes, it had some stiff competition. Hallmark really upped the game this year with the quality of these movies, by and large. But this movie stood out beyond the rest, from the costume, set design, all of it. It was just a masterpiece. It's a beautiful movie.
Beautiful movie, start to finish, well told. And again, the thing we really liked especially about it is it could have turned into a gigantic commercial for the Biltmore, and it didn't. They really walked that line, I thought, quite nicely in this one. So
I do still have my hourglass. Should I?
Oh, yes.
One thing. The Biltmore Christmas was unable to be with us tonight, but we will accept the hourglass on their behalf.
I was just going to say, one thing we will not win a Watchy for is best production value. We will do scrappiest podcast production possible, but...
If you need a dentist in Middle Tennessee, they'll give you one of these sand timers. There you go. I have a riff.
There you go. There you go.
Oh, boy. Okay, so this year, there were movies that... Someone must have been chopping onions, because we had tears just streaming, leaking from our faces. We even instituted a new segment in our reviews with Josh's cry count. And Josh wasn't the only one crying, although he may have cried the most. But anyways, this is the award for highest cry count.
The nominees for highest cry count: My Norwegian Holiday, Holiday Road, My Christmas Guide.
And the Watchy for highest cry count goes to Holiday Road. It got us both.
It got us both. And multiple times, because there were multiple plot lines that all felt really heartfelt and really felt like real people kind of issues and real people kind of stuff going on, which I really appreciated about this movie.
Absolutely. They were going through it, and this one got me crying over a commercial break. I cried, I stopped, commercial break came back, we were still in a crying moment, had to start it up again. My gosh.
Which, if you know, Jennifer does not cry as easily as I do. So for that to have happened, should have told you at the onset it was going to be the highest cry count. Yes, exactly. There were, as you hear, certainly plenty of tears in the movies that we watched this year. Some of them earned, some of them maybe a little forced, but thankfully we did have lots of laugh out loud moments as well.
The nominees for biggest LOLs: Haul Out the Holly, Lit Up, Checking It Twice, The Santa Summit.
And the Watchy for biggest LOLs goes to Haul Out the Holly, Lit Up. And it had to be. This one was funny and fun from go, I thought.
I mean, you have Melissa Peterman. It doesn't even, I mean, the rest of the cast is great, don't get me wrong, but anytime Melissa Peterman is featured, it's going to be funny. She was in that other movie we watched, Christmas Time Capsule. She wasn't as featured as I would like her. But anyways, love that she's coming into this world of movies. Give me more Melissa Peterman. But this movie, so funny. Now, it did get some negative reviews because the Johnsons, the Jolly Johnsons, rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. I thought they were ridiculous and funny, so I was able to embrace them for the most part.
Yes, because they were sort of caricatures, and we did see them sort of resolve at the end. But all in all, it was a hilarious movie, one I would definitely go back and watch as well.
All right, so It Takes a Village, and these movies had a great group of characters.
The nominees for Best Ensemble Cast: The Santa Summit, Holiday Road, Haul Out the Holly, Lit Up.
And the Watchy for Best Ensemble Cast goes to Holiday Road. Another win for them tonight. They're having a big night.
Big night for Holiday Road. I mean, we loved this cast. And the interesting thing about this, Jennifer, is the first character we meet was pretty divisive. It's that social media star. And I think an awful lot of people punted on this movie way early, when if they could just stick through those first 20 minutes, they would have been hooked. You know, I know when I was watching it, I started with that character and I thought, ugh. But then I met the rest of the ensemble and then I saw what they were doing, you know, and it all, I thought, worked. All of the characters really became people that I wanted to cheer for as we went along. And I think that's what makes a great ensemble cast. What about you?
Agreed. If you punted on this movie and you were still in the airport in Denver, go back to it. because it deserves a second watch or a second attempt, in my opinion. It was so great. They all had backstories. They had heart. They made us laugh. Great ensemble. Love them.
And as you heard, heartfelt. It won that highest cry count award. So there's just a lot of heart in that movie. So I think it's definitely worth a watch or even a rewatch. Something else that might be worth a rewatch or two, depending on what kind of mood you might be in. There were some moments in these movies that made us, they made us blush. They made us clutch our pearls, maybe. And let's just say there was some steamy hot cocoa out there this season.
The nominees for Steamiest Hot Cocoa, Catch Me If You Claws, Christmas Time Capsule, Sealed with a List.
And the watchy for Steamiest Hot Cocoa goes to Catch Me If You Claws. Oh, and it had to be.
It had to be.
Had to be that car scene.
I mean, we had some steamy moments. So Catch Me If You Claws had the car scene when evade a bad guy, they break into somebody's car. There's a guy passed out in the backseat for reasons unknown to anyone. I hope he's okay. And she
straddles.
Straddles Luke McFarlane and proceeds to kiss him in the steamiest of steamy cocos. But we also had, like we said, Christmas Time Capsule. They had that end kiss. Now, that should be steamy because that's a couple in real life. But also, Sealed with a Kiss, that leg massage scene, very close. It was a tight category.
It was, because he was getting a little handsy there on that leg massage. It was a tight category and definitely saw a little bit of steam. Dare I say, if that Lifetime movie that we heard about that had a little bit of a frolic in the hay, I guess would be the delicate way of putting that.
Yeah.
That might have made this category. Didn't watch it. Yep.
It caused quite the scuffle on the internet.
A kerfuffle, if you will. Yes, indeed.
Yes. My gosh. I guess this is the way of the world. Here we go. So the next category, these movies should have been sponsored by NyQuil because, man, they had us losing our interest. They had us playing on our phones. It's the biggest snoozer category.
The nominees for Biggest Snoozer, Christmas Time Capsule. I'm going to do that again. 3, 2. The nominees for Biggest Snoozer, Christmas Time Capsule, Friends and Family Christmas, Christmas by Design.
And the award for Biggest Snoozer, Tryptophan Induced, has to go to Christmas Time Capsule on UpTV. Ooh, sorry, guys.
Yeah, what was it missing for you, Jennifer?
Well, the first hour was fun when they were on the road trip. And then there was another, 45 minutes after that. It just went on and on. When they get home to the hometown and then, the fiancé or unofficial fiancé comes to town and all that, it just dragged on too long. What did it for you?
Very draggy. I was just going to say, it's like, we get it. Let's move it along. Let's make it happen. It just felt like some of these scenes were going way too long trying to find this thing and all this other stuff. It's like they needed more to do, right? And I think they were obviously stretching it out to kind of fill time. And that makes for a snoozer, as we would say here. So let's turn the corner. We are super excited to award some of our big categories here, the standout actors who really elevated these movies.
The nominees for Best Supporting Actor or Actress, Astrid, My Norwegian Holiday, Dusty, Holiday Road, Ava and Stella, The Santa Summit.
And the watchy for Best Supporting Actor or Actress goes to Dusty from Holiday Road. We loved Dusty.
He's played by Trevor Lerner, and he actually responded to us a little bit when we had posted our original review. Seems super sweet, super nice, everything I want him to be in real life. Dusty was, he stole my heart, that character. He was riding the bull for reasons unknown. He was in an elf costume. He had heart. He got his money stolen. He's crying in a cemetery. He had so much range, so much heart. What did you think?
So much range, so much heart. There was mystery to him from the onset. Why does he have this gigantic bag of cash, you know? And then he sort of had this like tough exterior, but a heart of gold. And I love that there was sort of that at play. We got to see both sides of that, but he sort of softened to the whole experience as time went on. I just thought his interactions with the rest of the ensemble in that movie really just made him all the more endearing. He kind of stole a lot of scenes, I think, when he was in them and didn't have to overact or underact to make it happen. He just was there doing his thing, and I thought it was great. And that's what makes a good supporting actor for me.
Absolutely. All right, it is now time for our coveted Best Male Lead Award. These Hallmark hunks understood the assignment and are stars through and through.
The nominees for Best Male Lead: Christopher Polaha, A Biltmore Christmas; Luke McFarlane, Catch Me If You Claws; Casey Elliott, Destined 2, Christmas Once More.
And the watchie for Best Male Lead goes to Christopher Polaha from A Biltmore Christmas.
It had to be. He knocked it out of the park with this Biltmore character. It just worked start to finish. It could have been really schmucky and really over the top, but I thought it was just really nuanced, still transported me to the time period, and I bought their relationship developing through and through. What about for you?
Absolutely. It wasn't too like, come here, you see, like his girl Friday kind of thing. It was just enough of that to be believable, like you said, without being too schmoozy. So loved it. Loved him in this. I enjoy all Christopher Polaha movies, but this one, probably my favorite.
He is consistently great in these movies, and I think he actually enjoys doing this kind of work and being this kind of an actor, and it's so great to see someone doing that and enjoying what they do. All right, now we've got from the men to the leading ladies, and this category, Jennifer, was probably, you know, because most of these categories we agreed at the onset kind of who we thought, but this one we actually had to have a little bit of conversation about here at Do You Watch What I Watch, because we were so torn on who was truly the best female lead. But here we go.
The nominees for Best Female Lead: Bethany Joy Lentz, A Biltmore Christmas; Jenna Claire Mason, My Heidelberg Holiday; Kimberly Susted, To All a Good Night.
And so the watchie for Best Female Lead goes to Kimberly Susted in To All a Good Night. Now, Jennifer, this was a tight race, right? All of these actresses did a great job. And I think at the end of the day, for me, Kimberly really excelled with the range that she demonstrated. We got humor, we got heart, we got a little bit of everything from her. And I thought the material, the script, could have been really overdone in a different actor. And I think that she just had the right tone throughout the whole thing for me. And it really, I think, worked. What about you?
Absolutely. And she's so good. She does a lot of face acting. I think we've talked about this in the past. Like, it's her delivery of the lines, yes, but also just the moves she makes with her face. You just believe it. And you feel bad for her. You want to cry with her, laugh with her. She's amazing. So,
what do you
happy
think,
to see her this year.
Yeah. What do you think makes a great actress in one of these movies, Jennifer?
For me, it does come down to, can I relate to them? Would I want to be friends with them? Do I really care? Am I invested in their strife? Or are they just trying to throw some party and nobody cares about it, you know? And so, like you mentioned earlier, she elevates all of these scripts in a great way.
It's very much the same thing for me. And I think that's why I like Kimberly Susted. Everything I've seen her in, it's like someone who could live down the street from you, who just has this kind of a career, and you want to be friends with this person. You want to be friends with her in the role she's doing, and you want to be friends with her just as an actress doing this kind of work, right? And I think that's what makes her so believable and so great. So congratulations to her. All right, so it's time for Jennifer and I to recap our top three. And I need you to know, dear listener, we did this independent of one another. However, we wound up with exactly the same top three. And I don't know, Jennifer, if that's just reflective of what my order, by the way, actually shifted a little bit as things sort of sat mm-hmm. at the end of the season mm-hmm. for me. And I sort of shifted my top power rankings as they were. Our number three is Sealed with a List. And this was just one of those that came out of nowhere. And we absolutely loved it, Jennifer.
I know. I never would have predicted it, but I've already watched it twice. Loved it. Loved their chemistry. Loved the banter. Loved the plot. It was just fresh. It's in my top three. Who knew?
Number two, A Biltmore Christmas. We thought it was great. We thought it was beautiful. As we said during our episode recap, we really think it elevates this whole genre of movie. Will certainly, I think, be one of those that's called upon year after year after year for a lot of folks watching these. And then our number one, top, is, hit him with it, Jennifer.
The Santa Summit.
Oh, my gosh. Loved it, loved it, loved it. It is fun. It is funny. It is heartfelt. The script is so witty and smart and really just relatable. And I just thought it was so, so, so great in hindsight, reflecting back on the season. What about you?
Absolutely. And now, you said in the beginning in our draft, this one was very buzzy. It had a lot of buzz around it, which I had not heard. And I was like, okay, it'll be fun. And then I might forget about it. No, it really stuck with me. So happy to see it this year.
Absolutely. All right. We can't judge a movie by its synopsis or its poster. So these movies were a little surprising to us in a good way.
The nominees for Most Surprising, My Norwegian Holiday, Sealed with a List, Holiday Road.
And the watchie for Most Surprising goes to Sealed with a List. Now, Jennifer, why this one was buried at the end of the season, I have no idea. Because this one should have been one that they really played up, really promoted. We absolutely loved this one.
This one, we thought, I mean, I remember saying it in the draft. Oh, they're already talking about New Year's on this one, which I guess is why it was later in the season. But I was like, oh, it's going to, usually the ones that premiered that late in the season, because this was, I think, the last weekend before Christmas, are just kind of yada yada basic stuff. So good. It did a disservice. They did a disservice to this movie by not promoting it more. I agree. And playing it up. Two leads I haven't seen in other movies. I want to see them more. Come on. Give me.
Yeah. They were fun. They were funny. It was heartfelt. It was great. I will absolutely watch it again. And I hope we see it on repeat down the line in the lead up to the new season, that sort of thing.
So on the flip side, these movies in this next category had us really excited, and they just kind of missed the mark and made us go, wah, wah.
The nominees for Loudest Sad Trombone, Never Been Christ, Friends and Family Christmas, Under the Christmas Sky.
And the watchie for the Loudest Sad Trombone goes to Never Been Christ.
And you can hear the Heinies. You can hear the Heinies losing their minds. This one just, it was not great. It was weird plot, weird execution. It just,
love triangle, high school stuff and drama and dream sequences and shellfish, or what did he lie about being vegan or something? Just like weird choices that didn't make sense. Now, if this movie had been any other male lead besides Tyler Hines, it may have gotten more of a pass. But I think any Tyler Hines movie has such hype around it because he does not miss. And the fact that even the Heinies were like, yeah, this one wasn't great, says a lot. So
well said.
We still love you, Tyler Hines. It'll be all right.
Well said. And we'll see you next year. We wanted to know here on the podcast what movie you love the most. Of course, the whole reason we're doing this is because Jennifer and I love these movies and love gabbing about them, but we really love connecting with all of you who love these too. So we put a poll up on our social media channels and we asked you to vote for your fan favorite. And the fan favorite for the 2023 season is A Biltmore Christmas by a landslide, Jennifer. People absolutely love this movie. Important to note, Santa Summit and Haul Out the Holly Lit Up also got a number of key votes in our poll, but it was A Biltmore by a landslide.
It was, and we got notifications. Thank you for making that poll. That was so good. But every time somebody voted, they would come in and I would look and built more. And then you'd get the one-offs, but built more. I do think some people scammed the system.
Voted
there were an
once.
Awful lot of votes coming in right back to back that I think they were kind of stuffing the vote box. But that's okay. We didn't ask you to put an email in it or anything. So that's fine. I'm not surprised at all that it built more. Oh, wait, here's the hourglass. I should have painted it gold.
You should have.
It's definitely a movie everybody was talking about this year, and rightly so.
And it's interesting. You know, we started getting promos for A Biltmore Christmas a year prior to it actually coming out. I'm sort of surprised we've not already heard some sort of early buzz about what we're getting in 2024 from Hallmark. But, you know, stay tuned. And, of course, we'll be gabbing about it here on the podcast. Well, Jennifer, there you have it. The Watchies, our second annual awards, they have been announced. What are your final thoughts as you're looking back at the 2023 holiday season? What do you think about the state of the genre, as it were? How are we looking?
I think it was a great season, especially, you know, at one point last summer, we weren't sure how many of these movies we could get because of the writer's strike. So thrilled we still got so many to choose from. I caught a few others that we didn't draft, and I'm glad we didn't draft them because they were stinkers. So they were not all good. I do think we were very lucky with the bingo draws. But by and large, just a lot of movies that I would watch again for years to come. How about you?
I feel the same. I think a lot of good storytelling. I like that we're seeing these writers and these producers trying to do some different things in terms of telling stories that are heartfelt and oriented around the holidays, a lot of fresh ideas, I thought. A lot of fresh faces, too. Some actors and actresses we've not seen before, which I thought was nice. I will be interested to see.
Sometimes that scares me a little bit, but it paid off in a big way. Yeah,
I agree. I'll be interested to see what sort of repositioning, if any, Great American Family does. Because if you look at the ratings, right, it is all about trying to get eyeballs. Hallmark knocked it out of the park yet again. Great American Family kind of underperformed in a lot of ways. And so you got to kind of wonder from a business perspective, do they make any shifts or any changes that kind of work to kind of do something different? So we'll have to see. They were late with their schedule, which is why we didn't have the opportunity to draft a whole lot of their movies. So maybe they'll try to ramp up a little bit ahead of time, which I would certainly like to see. I would love to see us reviewing more of their content next season as well.
And Lifetime didn't really have many at all. I mean, they had the Barn Romp one and a couple others in Ladies of the 80s, lest we forget. But they really did not produce as many quantitatively as they have in the past. So I don't know if that was a writer's strike thing or if they're just getting away from that. They're like tapping out of the holiday movie market. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, one thing we know, these movies remain popular and they remain profitable for these networks. So you can bet we are going to see more of them coming up in 2024. And you know what? I'm here for it, Jennifer. And you know what? We're here for it on the podcast. And we already have plans to start new shows with new content coming your way in February. But let's just pause for a moment, Jennifer, in our last few seconds here, and thank all of our loyal listeners for having so much fun with us during the holiday season. It was an absolute blast.
It always is. We're so grateful for each and every one of you. Thank you to Nick Schwartz for our music and our theme song. Love that. And then tell them about the voice they heard on the awards.
Yeah, we need to offer a special thanks to our loyal listener, Carly, for providing the voice of the Watchies for her second year. So thanks to her, thanks to you, and Jennifer, thank you for making my holiday season so very special. And until
thank you, Josh.
We see you soon.
May your days be merry and bright. We'll see you next time.